Yeah, sure. Yes. Okay, I mentioned that Sunday I probably won't be able to be here, but Monday we'll continue in Kiddushin. Okay. Parshas Truma, you have the mitzvah Binya Beis HaMikdosh. In the Midbar was a Heru Ashur, because it was traveling with them. And then Beis Masoz. But finally, when they reached Yerushalayim, that's called the Beis HaLomim, so that's the Chiyuv L'Doros to build a Beis HaMikdosh. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Chof, and the Rambam quotes it in the beginning of Hilchas Malachim Gimel Mitzvahs, it's Dava Yisrael Bichnisasim La'aretz. When Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in this specific order. First, Lahamed Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. Then, Lahachri Zara Shalom Olek, you have a Jewish government, you have to have an army, you have to have a standing army. So the army has to wipe out Amalek, and then, after you do those two mitzvahs, then Libnas Lahem Beis HaBchira, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. 50 years ago, when they conquered Yerushalayim, there was big excitement, and many Rabbanim said, nope, we have to go build the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik said at that time that the chiyuv to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, is only after it's totally peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it's based on Pesukim and Chumash. You have to have peace. Unfortunately, now there's still terrorism. You have no peace. Even then, the Arabs were petrified from the Jews after the Nitzach and the Mohammed Sheshet Ayamim, but it wasn't yet peaceful. So Rav Soloveitchik said, it's Adayin lo higi hazman. There isn't yet the mitzvah of building Beis HaMikdash. You're not yet mukhiv to build the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis Sheni, there was no melech. There was no Jewish government till the days of the Hashmonaim. So how did they build the Beis HaMikdash? If you have to go in order, first Lahamed Lahem Melech, then Lachri Zara Shalom Molech, and Livnes Lahem Beis HaBchira. So that was the Heru Ashur. Chagas Chayr Malachi were the three Nevi'im, and they said, Ribbono Shalom wants you to build the Beis HaMikdash. That was the whole Nevuah. Gemara says in Yuma, the first parak, that Ribbono Shalom is angry at Bnei Yisrael. Why, after the 70 years of Golas Bavel, they were all given the opportunity to move back to Eretz Yisrael? Hardly anybody moved back. So the Gemara says Ribbono Shalom is angry, and he said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. The only three Nevi'im he sent, Gimel Nevi'im all the way Maimi Bavel, the three Nevi'im Chagas Chayr Malachi had to send, because he wanted them to build the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Allah. He can't build the Beis HaMikdash unless you have authorization from a Navi. That the Tanoim have this on the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, L'shich Nesirushu V'asur Shama, Drosh Alpi Navi, you have to have a Navi. That's why Rabbi Kivega had a Talmud, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher. So he had this notion. He never visited Eretz Yisrael, didn't know that there was a mosque on the Makom HaMikdash. He had this wild notion, we should go and we should build the Beis HaMikdash and we should be makriv karbonos. He didn't realize he can't build the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mosque there. So he wrote a whole sefer, Drishas Tzion, which was reprinted recently, very nicely. And he writes, he thinks that he solved all the problems about building Beis HaMikdash. We should just go ahead, all gung ho, go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gdolim sent him letters that Bianca Fettlinger was a prominent rabbi in Germany. He was the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. So he has his Chavis Teshuvahs are called Binyan Zion, because the first two Teshuvahs are Trap Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash. You have to have a Navi. Even if you figure out archaeologically where everything is, you know exactly, precisely where everything is supposed to be. The Halacha says you have to have a Navi to authorize the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a Pele. There's a Sefer Kafta Baferach. In the days of the Bali Ataisis, there's a whole group of Bali Ataisis who moved to Eretz Yisrael. So in the Sefer Kafta Baferach, that was written by one of the later Bali Ataisis who lived in Eretz Yisrael, he writes that he heard that in an earlier generation, Rabbeinu Yechiel came to Eretz Yisrael and he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he raises issues, what's going to be with Tuma, what's going to be with this, what's going to be with that. But this issue, none of them raised, that you need a Navi. This somehow, that was later generations. That's where the Binyan Tzion raises that, and other, in recent years, that's what the issue that they raised. You have to have a Navi to authorize the building of a Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash is a Chayvus HaTzibur, it's not a Chayvus HaYochid. Klal Yisrael together has to see to it that they build a Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph and Hilchas Beis HaBchira that the men and the women are obligated in Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Some of them are bothered with Akasha, that the Rambam quotes the din there in the same halacha. He quotes, when he writes that women are also mechuyev, quotes the din in the Gemara, that binya beis hamikdash can only be done by yom, can't be done by laila. B'yom hakim is hamishkan. So the Gemara says, b'yom below balayla. So if you have a mitzvah that can only be fulfilled by yom and not by laila, shouldn't that be considered a mitzvah sasesha as mangrama? Why shouldn't women be potter? So the pashtus is that it's a chavis hatzibur. That din, that a mitzvah sasesha as mangrama, women are potter, pashtus is that only applies to chavis hayachi. Talk about tzitzis and tvilin and lulav and shefer and sukkah. It's a chavis hayachi. Chavis hatzibur. The women are part of the tzibur. That's the pashtus. The Shagazari has a different answer on the kasha. There's a Tosfos later in Kiddushin. We're learning Kiddushin this year, believe it or not. So sometimes one will not remember what Masechta we learn. So the Tosfos in Kiddushin has a kasha on the Afchav Tes. Why do you need a pasuk to say that the mother is not obligated to see to it that she does the bris for her son? Wouldn't we know on our own that women are exempt from the mitzvah of milas habayim because it's a mitzvah sasesha as mangrama, because you can only do it by yom and not by laila? That's Tosfos kash. So the Shagasari has a famous comment on that kasha. He says he doesn't think that's correct. Mitzvah sasesha as mangrama is like lulav and shofar, that the zman is mechayiv in the mitzvah. But over here, you have to be mala baby. This man is the hechsher mitzvah. If you do the mila balayla, it'll be puzzle. But it's not the balayla. There's no chiyuv to be mala baby. Let's say an oral is not permitted to eat korban pesach. So what if a person? What if a man is an oral, but is meisaech of machmas mila, a situation where he's not allowed to perform the bris mila because of a medical consideration? So that's machlekes is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says that an oral is not allowed to eat truma, oral is not allowed to eat korban pesach, is not allowed to be makor korban. It even applies to a mesa echov machmas mila. The Rabbeinu Tam and various mesichtas, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Rashi, and he says no, only if you mechuyev to be mal yourself and you didn't take care of it, then you puzzle. then you're not allowed to eat korbanos. But if you're not mechuyev to be mal, then there's no psul of oral. So when you eat the Korban Pesach at night, so at night you're not mechuyev to be mal, because even if you'll be mal, it'll be pasul. So the Shagasari asks, so balayla there's no chiyev lomol. So how can an oral be pasul to eat Korban Pesach? Leil Pesach, he doesn't have a din of an oral. So the Shagasari says the answer is balayla there is a chiyev lomol, just that it won't be kosher. But right, that the next morning the chiyev comes back again. The chiyev is there kiseida bayom or balayla, just that Bayom, it's kosher to do the misbris, and balayla is not kosher. So it's the same by the binya beis hamikdash. It's not that the mitzvah doesn't apply balayla. It'll be possible if you build a beis hamikdash balayla. It'll be possible. You have to do it over again. But according to the Shagasari, the whole kasha doesn't get off the ground. Why don't we say that the mitzvah of binya beis hamikdash should be a mitzvah sesa shaz mangrama, because you can only do it by yom and not balayla? Tosfos would say like that. Tosfos holds that by bris milo, it's a mitzvah says the shaz magrama because you can only do it by yom. But the Shagasari thinks that din only applies if the chiyuv is magrama, if the zman is gorim the chiyuv. But if the chiyuv is by yom or by laila, zman is the hechsher mitzvah is tolib zman. So that's not called mitzvah sasei shaz magrama. Anyway, that's what the Rambam says in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Beis HaBchira. He says that women are also mechuyev in Binyan, Beis HaBchira, just like in the Midbar. Because in the Midbar it says, how does he know that women are chayav? Because it says in the Midbar the women donated and the women tavo esoizen, the women were participating. In fact, Rashi and Tosfos quote from the Medrash, Pirkei de Rav Lezer. Pirkei de Rav Lezer is one of the earliest parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh that was written down. It's written down before the Mishnayos. Only there's a pilpul which was written down first, the Megillas Tainus or the Pirkei de Rav Lezer. The Pirkei de Rav Lezer is very old, from Lezer ben Hurkos, Rav Lezer al-Gadol. So the Pirkei de Rav Lezer is quoted by Rashi and Tosfos that Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women. What's the yontif for women? Are not supposed to do meloche on Rosh Chodesh. I was just speaking in California on Sunday, it was Rosh Chodesh. I gave a share about Yoni Rosh Chodesh. I didn't realize there was a woman who was sitting and knitting there. So as I was explaining why Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women, and the women are not supposed to knit, and they're not supposed to do the laundry. So they told, I didn't notice what happened, so they told me the woman dropped everything on the floor when I said that. Good? Okay. That's it. Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't think that it's a nice minig that's recommended. He thinks the minig is that the women are mechuyev to observe the minig. Not that it's recommended you should adopt the minig. It's mechuyev. The women are mechuyev to observe the minig, not to do melacha. A lot of cooked food on Yom Tov, Echal Nefesh is mutter. A lot of turn on the lights, turn off the lights. That malacha doesn't count. But malacha like knitting and washing the clothing, that they shouldn't do on Rosh Chodesh. So why is Rosh Chodesh a Yom Tov for women? So the Pirkei Der Blezer doesn't explain. So the Das Kenim of Bali Ataisis on Chumash explain why. That the Mishkan was completed on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. That was the Yom Shmini L'Miluim. That was the first day. Osa Yom Natal Eser Atoros. Rashi and Chumash quotes that the first day of Nissan was Rosh Chodesh, and the first month was Nissan, and the first time Aaron HaKohen did the Avodah. Shivas Me'amiloim, Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah. And Shmini L'Miluim, Aaron HaKohen did the Avodah. So the women, when it came to the Egel, didn't want to participate. The Medrash says that the men were donating, and the women didn't want to participate at all. When it came to the Mishkan, the men and the women, everybody gave. So the Medrash condemns the men. Nitvoim la'egel v'nosnim, nitvoim la'mishkan v'nosnim. When you ask them for a donation, so they just want to know, can they take it off as a tax deduction? So if it's tax deductible, they'll make out a check. They don't pay attention. This is avodah zarah. This is an egel, and this is a mishkan. What are you donating to the egel? And the women discerned they only gave tzedakah to the Mishkan. They didn't want to give to the Egel. So the women celebrate every Rosh Chodesh that they know how to give tzedakah properly. They only give tzedakah to worthy causes, and they don't give the tzedakah to the Egel. That's what the Das Kain and Bali Atay say. That's what it's all about, that Rosh Chodesh is a yontah for women, because they knew only to donate to the Mishkan and not to give to the Egel. The Mishkan is referred to several times in the Chumash as the Mishkan Ha'edus. What does that mean? Because the Mishkan housed the Luchas, and the Luchas are known as Luchas HaEdus. The Pashtus says that that was the center of the whole Mishkan. The whole purpose of the Mishkan, the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to house the Luchas in it. That's a Shaila. Towards the end of the Beis Rishon period, it says in Dibra Yomim that Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Luchas. He put it in the basement, in a chamber in the basement. When Shlomo HaMelech originally built the Beis HaMikdash, he built it according to the Megillah B'Ksav that David HaMelech was given from the Novi. The Novi gave Hakol B'Ksav Mi'ad Hashem Alai Haskil. Everything was B'Ksav, and David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Novi didn't permit him to because he was a warrior. He killed a lot of, he did a big mitzvah. But Dam Rab Shafachta, the Novi told him, you killed people, the Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokum Shalom. So the David HaMelech was told by the Novi, you're going to have a son, his name is going to be Shlomo, he's going to be an Ish Shalom. And the Beis HaMikdash will be built during his lifetime. Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokum Shalom. When Asati Shalom, a Mokum Hazeh. We refer to Beis HaMikdash, we refer to as Shalom. So Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Luchas in the chamber in the basement, which was built originally according to the plan that was given. The Novi gave it to Dovan HaMelech. Dovan HaMelech gave the Megillah B'Ksav to Shlomo HaMelech. And the plan originally had that there's a chamber, there's a room in the basement to place the Luchas. When you decide you should take it down from the Kodesh HaKodesh and put it in the basement. The Gemara in Yuma, the Mishnah Yuma discusses this, that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was supposed to do the Hazor Sadam, Achz Lamayla V'Sheva Lamata, in the Kodesh HaKodesh, and he's supposed to be facing the Oren. So in Bais Sheni there wasn't. The last years of the Bais Rishon, after Yoshua Melech, and the whole period of the Bais Sheni, there was no Aron. So the Mishnah says he would be Zorek the Dam, connected the location where the Aron used to be. Like the principle of Kitchel Osi Lovoi. We say the Mokam HaMikdash was Kitchel Osi Lovoi, and every location in the Mokam HaMikdash was also Kitchel Osi Lovoi. So the location where the Aron was Kitchel Osi Lovoi. So when the Kohen Gadol stands in front of that location, it's considered as if he's Zorek the Dam, in front of the Aron, even though the Aron is not there. That's the Mokum Aron. That's a big machlekes, whether that's so. Do you say Kitchel Osi Lovoi or not? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBchira that the Mokum HaMikdosh was given Kedusha when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon, and Kedusha remained throughout all the years, and it's still there now. The Makom HaMikdash was Kitchel Asilavai, and all of Yerushalayim is also considered Makom HaMikdash. Yit, Kachim Kalim, Yit, Korban Pesach and Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim, because it's considered an extension of the Bais HaMikdash. The Ben Chaschina points out that we have the expression Lifnei Hashem in Chumash many different times. So sometimes it refers to Azorah, Shechatas ben abokar lifnei Hashem. The shechita has to be in the Azor. Can't be in the Harabais. Can't be in Yerushalayim. So there, the phrase lifnei Hashem at the beginning of Vayikra, shechita has to be in the Azor. So there it means lifnei Hashem means the Azor. And sometimes lifnei Hashem means all of Yerushalayim. Chalta Hashem lifnei Hashem alakecha. Ma'ase diganocha v'sirosh chavitzarecha v'karas pekarcha v'tzenecha. Eat ma'ase shein and kachim kalim in Yerushalayim. So there, in that pasuk, lifnei Hashem refers to all of Yerushalayim. Then the Menhaschina points out, the Gemara says that in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah, at the same time they would blow shofar, they would blow chatzotris. In the Tanit Sibu, at the same time they would blow chatzotris, they would blow shofar. How do you know that only in the Beis HaMikdash, whenever you have one, you have to have both? And the Tanit Sibu, there's a mitzvah to blow chatzotris on Rosh Hashanah, mitzvah sayam b'shofar. So how do you know that whenever you have one, you have to have both in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk for Tehillim, v'chatzotras v'kol shofar hariyu, Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. So what's called Lifnei HaMelech Hashem? So the Gemara says, Lo ha'esim kein ala b'harabayis. In the Harabayis they did it. In Yerushalayim they didn't do. Outside of Yerushalayim they didn't do. Only Lifnei HaMelech Hashem in the Harabayis. So the Menchas Chinuch said that sometimes the Pasuk says Lifnei Hashem refers to Azorah. Sometimes says Lifnei Hashem refers to the Harabayis. Sometimes it refers to Yerushalayim. All three are Lifnei Hashem. They're different degrees of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. That's the Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Kelim. In the first Perek in Kelim, it lists off 10 degrees of Tumah, one higher than the other, one more chomer than the other, by Odom. How Tommy is the person? He already went to Mikveh and he already had Har of Shemesh, but he just Mechusi Kippurim, he didn't bring the Zavah, the Zav Zavi Aledis and Mitzvah, didn't bring the Korban yet. Or he didn't yet hire Har Shemesh, he didn't yet go to Mikvah, so the Mishnah lists off 10 different degrees of Tumah by Odom with an Afkemina Ladina. Then it ends off, the Perek ends off, the last couple of Mishnahs. Esed Kedusha is saying there are 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says all of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. Shemivim emenu ha'omer eshtei alechem. The omer on Pesach and eshtei alechem on Shavuos has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. If you grow in a chutzlos, you can't use it for omer eshtei alechem. Then Ayaras Hamakaf Eschayim have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than Ayaras Hamakaf Eschayim. Harabais has a higher level of Kedusha than you have in the Rabbanim, degrees in Harabais. Then you have the Azara, then you have Bein Ulam V'Lam Mizbeach, then you have the Ulam, then you have the Hechel, then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have the different degrees. So the Mefarshim ask on the Mishnah, why does it say Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh has been called HaRotzah Shemimim Menah HaOmer Eshtei Alechem? Such an obscure din. Hardly anybody knows that din. That the barley that you bring, the Minchas HaOmer, has to have grown, the barley has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael, and the wheat for the Eshtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Why don't you say Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh Mekal HaRotzah Chayvin Trumas HaMaisa Shpinta V'yav Alekad Shikhapeya? There's so many mitzvot lis baretz that people are familiar with. This din, nobody ever heard of this din. So the Vilna Gaon, in our Mishnayis, it says in the Mishnah, Eretz HaMekudesh Mekal HaRotzah Shemim Yemena HaOmer Eshtei Alechem VaHaBikurim. It says three things. The Vilna Gaon crosses out Bikurim. Why does it cross out Bikurim? Bikurim is only in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Menachem Zembe has a whole kuntras on the Esek Kedushas, and so he has the following. Rav Soloveitchik used to say the same pshat. I don't think he knew that Rav Menachem Zembe wrote this in his Sefer, that Eretz Yisrael is the only place where you observe the agricultural mitzvahs. That's a different din. The Mishnah is not interested in saying that. The Mishnah is saying there are 10 levels in Kedushas HaMikdash. The Mishnah wants to say all of Eretz Yisrael has the lowest level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So the fact that you only observe Chumas and Maisah, Shemitah, V'yev, Leket, Shikrapeh, and Eretz Yisrael, and Bikurim also, Vilna Gaon thinks that Bikurim is one of the mitzvahs of Kliyas Baretz, that shouldn't be mentioned in the Mishnah. That's a different din. Kedushas Haaretz is a different din. Mishnah is trying to prove that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Which din can you quote to demonstrate that that's true. So the Mishnah says, Shevivim men ha'imer shtei alechem. Ha'imer shtei alechem is a korban, and it has to have been grown in the Beis HaMikdash. But you can't plant wheat and barley in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you plant it anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, that's considered as if it grew in the Beis HaMikdash. Because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says, that the term Lefnei Hashem appears in Chumash, appears in Halacha. Sometimes it refers to Azora, sometimes it refers to Har HaBayis, and sometimes it refers to all of Yerushalayim, because these are three different levels. The mission says there are 10 levels. 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. These three, Azora and Har HaBayis and Yerushalayim, are three different levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's what Lefnei Hashem is all about. Lefnei Hashem means you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam is of the opinion that the Rambam writes in Ochas Beis HaBchira, when Shlomo Melech built the first Beis HaMikdash, the Mokum of the Mikdash was Kitchel Osi Lava. Even after the Churban Bais Rishon, that the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was Batla, but the Kedushas HaMikdash was there, and it's still there. All the dinim still apply. Kedushas HaMikdash is still there. Ara Yom Hazeh. The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam. The Raiva in Beis HaBchira disagrees. The Raiva thinks that when Shlomo HaMelech went to build the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew already from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Nevuah that the Bais Rishon is going to be Chorev. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was going to be Chorev. So it was only Mekadoshit Lizman. It's a chiddush that you can do such a thing. You build the Beis HaMikdash and you have in mind you only want it to be Kodesh for the first 410 years, because it's going to be Chorev after the 410 years are up. So the Kedusha vanishes into thin air. It's a chiddush that you can do such a thing. And then when Ezra and Nehemiah, when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, so the rabbi writes, Yedeyahoya Ezra she'asid l'chorev. They knew from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Shir HaShirim, So the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma understands, after the 7 years of Golas Babel, before the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael, everybody will turn, Ruba the Ruba will return, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be it will be like a metal structure, that it's not going to rot. The second Beis HaMikdash will be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. Lamai said they didn't all come back. 43,000 Jews came back. There were millions of Jews living in Babel. Hardly anybody came back. It was a drop in the bucket. And the Pesukim say that Ezra had to go back to Babel. He told all the people to stay by the river. He had to go back. Shlep Molevim. The whole purpose of going to Eretz Yisrael was to make a Beis HaMikdash and bring Karbonis. They didn't have enough Levim to run a Beis HaMikdash 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So the next pasuk says, M'delasi... Not to allow the achoras. If it'll be dalas ha'am, it'll be a very shvach aliyah. After the 7 years of Golas Babel, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a luachoras, like a wooden bungalow, like a wooden hut. Shaharekav shalabo, wooden buildings rot away. Metal doesn't rot, but wood rots away. So that's Yedeo HaYezra. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he already knew from day number one, Shaharekav shalabo. Why? Because that's what Shlomo HaMelech wrote Beruach HaKodesh in Shir HaShirim, that if at the end of the Golas Babel, the end of the 7 years of Golas Babel, hardly anybody will show up, and that's what happened, then the second Beis HaMikdash is also doomed to be destroyed. Osid Lehechorev. So that's what the Rabbi writes. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim that it's going to be Chorev. That's what it says B'Feirish in Yecheskel and in Tehillim. The Chumash is not that explicit, but Tziv shows where it even says in the Chumash. But you don't need it in a Tziv. It says it in Yecheskel, and it says in Tilim. That right at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they'll be sent into Golos. So that's what the Rabbi writes. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was also Lehechorev. It was only Bekadosh Dizman. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, so after the second Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, there's no Kedusha at all. That's how the Rabbi, there's no Kedusha today. That's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivin. That's the Shaila, whether Tmeim are permitted to go on the Har HaBayis today. So going to the Rambam, it's an Issa Deraisa. You're not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis because it retains the Kedusha. The Rambam holds that all of Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash, so the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is still there. The Rebbe disagrees. The Rebbe says that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be so spectacular, so outstanding, if it's just going to be a kitchel asilavai, the psukim say the third Beis HaMikdash, goliya kvod abayis achem en arishan, the third Beis HaMikdash will outshine the first Beis HaMikdash. But if it's a hemshech, if it's kitchel asilavai, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, how can it be that the third Beis HaMikdash will have a deeper degree of kedusha? It's just going to have a continuation of the first kedusha. So that's the hechrech that the Rebbe has. Since the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be deeper degree of kedusha than the first and the second, so it must be that the kedusha of the first Beis HaMikdash was batla. Kedusha of the second Beis HaMikdash was batla. You're going to start from scratch again. When we'll rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash, we'll endow it with such a deeper degree of kedusha. The Rambam holds not so. The Rambam understood that the Mokam HaMikdash was kitchel osi lover. So that's what they usually say when the Mishnah says that the Kangodol and the Baisheni was Zerk the Dam, Keneged, the location where the Oren used to be, is based on, according to the Rambam, because it's based on the concept of Kitchel Osi Lovai, and not only Kitchel Osi Lovai, the Mokam HaMikdash has Kedusha, every Chelek of the Beis HaMikdash retains its status of Kedusha. So, and the Beis Rishon, where the Oren was there, so the Kangodol had to do this, because Adam, Achaz L'mayla V'shev L'mata, Nochach HaOren. So in the Baisheni also, it's Kitchel Osi Lovai, it's considered Nechach HaOren. As if that section has the Kedushas Mokam HaOren, and the Kangodol does the Avodah, Nechach Mokam HaOren. So the Gemara there in Yuma, when the Mishnah says in the Baisheni, Mishnah is described the Baisheni Avodah on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah say the Kangodol would be Zerik the Dam, Keneged, the place where the Oren used to be. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, where was the Oren during the Baisheni period? So it's a historical Machloikis HaTanoim. The Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it's very strange why the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah takes a stand on a machlokes in history. The Rambam writes, when Yehoshua HaMelech was going as the Oren with the Luchos towards the end of the Beis Rishon period, and he put it in the chamber in the basement, which was there from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech had the Megillah B'Ksav from David HaMelech, he got it from the Navi. So the Rambam writes, in the whole period of Beis Sheni, the Oren with the Luchos were there in the same chamber. So that's strange. That was one opinion in the Gemara. Why did the Rambam take a stand on a machlekes in history? In the Gemara, in the Bochum, he talks about history. But in the Mishnah Torah, he just writes halachas. Why did he write this? Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe the Rambam understood that it's a machlekes in history, but one aspect is machlekes in halacha. And the Rambam understood that you can't have a Beis HaMikdash if you don't have any luchas. It's supposed to be Mishkan Ha'edus. Mishkan Ha'edus because it houses luchas Ha'edus. And the Beis HaMikdash is also supposed to be a place to house the Luchas. But if you're not housing the Luchas, so Ika Chosim and HaSefer. So how can you call it the Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash has to have Luchas. The Rambam in Hilchas Tfilo speaks about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara says towards the end of Maseches Megillah that the Novi Yecheskel is telling Bnei Yisrael that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, they're going to be sent into Golas Bavel. And although they won't have a Beis HaMikdash, they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash. What's the miniature Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara said that's a reference to Bati Knesis, Bati Midrash, and Shebe Bovel. All the shuls all over the world and all the yeshivas all over the world have the status of a Mikdash Miyat. Why is it a Mikdash Miyat? So the Rambam in Hilchas Tfilah writes, sounds very much from the Rambam, it doesn't write it explicitly, it sounds very much that if you have a shul but it doesn't have an Aron Kodesh in it, it doesn't have the status of a Beis HaKnesses. A lot of, here in New York, a lot of businessmen say they designate one room in their offices to daven Mincha Ma'ariv, but they don't have a Sefer Torah there. On a tiny seat, but they go to someone else's office, but they have a Sefer Torah. So if you have a room that's designated always for davening, you only use that room for davening, you never use it for anything else, so it has a special status. But the Rambam seems to imply that it won't have the status of a Beis HaKnesses. In order to be a Mikdash Miyat, to have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, it has to have a Sefer Torah. Just like the Rambam seems to hold, in order to have a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, you have to have Oren with the Luchas. The other two Tanaim there in Yuma don't agree. The other Tanaim say, no, the Oren wasn't bubbled during the Beis Sheni period, it was somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam understood that part of the Machlokes, it's a historical Machlokes, the Rambam understood that part of the machlokes is a halacha machlokes. Is it possible to have a Beis HaMikdash without a Oren with the Luchas? So the Rambam seems to pass on that now. He's assuming the Oren with the Luchas were there in the basement, in that chamber, that Shlomo HaMelech built according to the plans, according to the Megillah B'Ksav that he was given by his father David. David got it from the Navi. Aron with the Luchas were there the whole Baishani period, implying that Beis HaMikdash without Aron and Luchas is nothing. It can't be Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a long Yartzeit drush. He used to have Yartzeit on Gimel Shvat. He used to always give a long shiur. So on one occasion he gave a long shiur on the topic of Tashmishi Mitzvah versus Tashmishi Kedusha. The Gemara said, what do you do with a lulav after Sukkot is over? So the Gemara said, you throw it out in the garbage. Tashmishi Mitzvah and is rocking. What do you do if you have an old talis and your wife buys you a new talis? What do you do with the old talis? So you donate it to the shul. The Gabbai doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. It's all yellow, stained, dirty. He doesn't want to use it. So you give it to a poor man. No poor people in the neighborhood want this old talis. So what do you do with the talis? So the Gemara says, throw it in the garbage. Tashmishi Mitzvah and Nizrakim. A shofar, an old shofar that no one can use anymore. So the Gemara says, throw it in the garbage. It says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rishayim, from the Rai, but you shouldn't throw it together with dirty diapers or chicken bones or fish bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. It shouldn't be mevazim. But if you have Tashmishi Kedusha, that's nigdozim. If you have an old Sefer Torah, that's posel. You have an old pair of tefillin. You have an old mezuzah, or you have a mezuzah case, or you have a tefillin zekel, or you have a mental of a Sefer Torah, something with Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. So that's nignosim. That you're not allowed to throw out in the garbage, even if it doesn't have Shem Hashem on it. A mental of a Sefer Torah doesn't have Shem Hashem. So how do you decide? How did the Tanaim decide what's considered Tashmishi Mitzvah, and what's considered Tashmishi Kedusha? So the Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in the Sefer, in the Efesh HaChaim, the source of all Kedusha is Tanakh. So to the extent that you have the Torah written, so the Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, you have Psukim written there. So Tefillin have more Psukim written than Mezuzah. Mezuzah just has Shema V'Yom Shema. Tefillin have Kadesh V'Yakev Yach in addition. And Eshal Rosh has slightly more written than Eshal Yad. Eshal Rosh has two shins on the outside. So slightly two letters more than Eshal Yad. So Gemara says Tefillin Eshal Rosh has a higher level of Kedusha than Tefillin Eshal Yad. Then the Sefer Torah has more Psukim than the Tefillin has. The Rambam implies, doesn't say explicitly, is mashma very much in the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah, that if you have a Sefer Torah that was just written Tavshin Ayin Zayin, and you have the original Luchas, the author's copy, Amichta Michta Velakimhu, Chorus Ala Luchas, you have the original Luchas that the Ribbono Shel Olam engraved, Sefer Torah was written by Bas of Adam, Tavshin Ayin Zayin, as more Kedusha than the Luchas. The Luchas are priceless. Sefer Torah has a price, but the Luchas are priceless. That's a collector's item. Luchas, author's copy, handwritten by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ksav Yad Kodesh of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's priceless, but which has more Kedusha? So the Rambam implies that the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha, because whatever is written in the Luchas is written in Sefer Torah plus more. So to the extent that you have the Torah written, to that extent you have Kedusha. So the Luchas has fewer Psukim, the original Luchas only has Aseres Adibus, Sefer Torah has Aseres Adibus plus more. Not really. No, no. The Gemara said the tzitzis are tashmishi mitzvah. So after the zman mitzvah is up, is nizrakim. You can throw. You don't have to put the tzitzis in shemus. A lot of people take off the tzitzis from the talis. They throw the beged out and they put the strings of the tzitzis in the shemus. So the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says that the tzitzis is only tashmishi mitzvah, and after the zman mitzvah is up. Is up. There's no longer Kedusha, no longer Kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik was discussing, what about the other? Rav Chaim Volozhin claims the source of all Kedusha is Tanakh, Psukim from the Torah. So that explains if it's Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Fine. What about Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash? What do you have? Well, you have the Torah written on the walls. So he said, according to the Rambam, it would appear that Beis HaMikdash without Luchas is not a Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Rambam, the source, the mocker of the Kedusha and Beis HaMikdash is from the fact that it has Luchas. And the Beis HaKnesses also from the Rambam is very much mashma that if you have a shul which is miyuchad for tefillah, it'll be Tashmishi Mitzvah. It helps you daven better, but it won't be Tashmishi Kedusha. It won't have Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Kedusha Beis HaKnesses only if it has a Sefer Torah in it, Kavua. And the Beis HaMedrash, so there's a Tosfos in Nozir, where Tosfos says that Tosfos, a very short Tosfos, apropos to nothing on the daf, and very little, nothing to do with what's written on the daf. There's a little Tosfos in Nozir says, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses in general is because it has a Sefer Torah, and Kedushas Beis HaMedrash because you learn Torah Shebal Peh. There are two different levels of Kedusha. The Gemara in the end of Megillah has a machlokes, which Kedusha is higher, Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash? So what's the issue? So Tosfos and Nozir, right? Tosfos and Megillah doesn't explain anything. Tosfos and Nozir writes that the Kedushas Beis HaMedrash flows from the fact that they learn Torah Shebal Peh. And Kedusha Beis HaKnesses flows from the fact that you have a Sefer Torah. That's what Tosfos says. So the mocker of all of Kedusha has to be Divrei Torah. So then Rav Soloveitchik explained, all right, Kedusha Beis HaMikdash is because you have the Luchas. Fine. What about Kedusha Ha'aretz? There are psukim written on the trees. What, there are psukim on the grass? Where? How can you say Kedusha Ha'aretz Yisrael? How can Rav Chaim Elojanin say that all Kedushas are rooted in Divrei Torah? Where did the Divrei Torah? Rav Soloveitchik said, what was the Mekadosh of Eretz the first time around? Kibush v'chiluk. The Chalukas Ha'aretz was the Gemar of the Kibush. So he said, who did the Kibush? He was giving the Yortzachir in the auditorium. He said, who did the Kibush? Everybody screamed out, the Jewish army. Yeshua ben Nun's army. He said, no! The Oren HaBris. He says, the Oren HaBris, Ha'alach Lefneim. The Oren HaBris. The Oren HaBris had Divrei Torah, had the Shivya Luchas. Okay, had Luchas in it, had Shivya Luchas in it. So this was, then he said, this was Nicha, the Kedusha Rishayna, that was accomplished in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So the Kedusha Sa'aretz, the mocker of the Kedusha Sa'aretz was that the Kibush was done by the Oren HaBris, and the Oren HaBris had the Luchas in it. But we assume the halacha that during the 7 years of Golas Bavel, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael disappeared. When they came back in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. So how were they Mekadosh out? There was no Kibush. There was no Kibush but the Oren HaBris. So what was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around? So that's Rav Soloveitchik. So the Rambam writes it was Chazokah. First time was Kibush, second time was Chazokah. What does it mean Chazokah? It's very unclear. What does it mean by Chazokah? Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole elaborate discussion. He thought maybe right before the Binyan Ba'isheni was when Nes Purim occurred, and it says Kimu V'Kiblu. There were Mekabel Torah Shebal Peh. The Medrash Tanchuma writes on Parshas Noach that originally Bnei Yisrael said Nasa B'Nishma, that was on the Torah Shebichzav. And then Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas, Tosfos says, why was there a need for Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas if they all said Nasa B'Nishma? So the Tosfos gives an answer, and the Mefarshim on the Tosfos say, look in the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma asks the question. Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Noach says the Nasa B'Nishma was on the Torah Shebichzav. It didn't seem so complicated, but the Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas, that was on the Torah Shabbat Peh, because that's very difficult. We're learning Gemara, we're breaking our heads. You learn Mishnah Berurah, has all these footnotes. Be'er Halacha and the Shaar Etzion, you learn the Yerideya with the Darkei Tshuva, with the Pischei Tshuva, so many details in Halacha. The Torah Shabbat Peh is very difficult to learn, and very difficult to observe. That's Koshi Kershol Kino, Yerushafeh Rishveh Yeshol Heves Ko. The Medrash says all of those descriptions of the difficulty of learning Torah and observing Torah go on the Torah Shabbat Peh. So Bnei Yisrael didn't want to accept Torah Shabbat Peh. But that was Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas. So on the occasion of Nes Purim, it says, Kima V'Kibla, they accepted again the Torah Shabbat Peh Berotz. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe it was the new Kabbalah Sator of the Torah Shabbat Peh that enabled us to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. The first time around the Mekadosh was the Oren with the Luchas, the Torah Shabbichzav. This is all on the assumption, like Rav Chaim Balozhin and Nefesh HaChaim, that all in Yonik Kiddusha have to be rooted in Psukim from Tanakh, Chumash of Psukim from Tanakh. So that was his suggestion, that the Kiddusha Shniya, the Eretz Yisrael, was based on the fact that there were Mekabel Torah Shabbat Peh all over again. So in this week's Seder, we have the mitzvah to make a Mishkan, to make all the Kalim.
What about the Kiddusha's Makom HaMikdash? Where does there's no Psukim in the Makom HaMikdash? Where does the Kiddusha come from?
Yeah, that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought from the Orem with the Luchas.
So the Makom, but the Orem HaLuchas, that was Mekadosh both Eretz Yisrael and the Makom HaMikdash?
Well, that was a different, that was the Orem HaYetzei Imam LaMuhammad, that was the Orem with the Shibya Luchas. Yeah, there were two Aronis, that's how the Yerushalmi says. Tosfos in Sota quotes Yerushalmi, there were two Aronis. The Orem HaYetzei LaMuhammad was one, the Orem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was a different Orem. So the Kibush Eretz Yisrael was with the Orem HaYetzei LaMuhammad, with the Shibya Luchas. Then the Mekadosh of the Mishkan, of the Mikdosh, was the real Oren, with the Luchas in it. And even the Baisheni, Rav Soloveitchik thought, must have been, the Rambam assumed it must have been that the Luchas were there. If the Luchas weren't there, he assumed that this is a machlokes and halacha, that the accepted opinion should be You can't have a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash without housing any luchas.
What did the Kabbalah Satorah of Tanakh Purim have to do with the second kibbutz?
The Navi Yirmiyah gave Tochacha to all the Navim gave Tochacha. That's the job of a Navi. Navi has to scream and give Musa. So Navi Yirmiyah gave Tochacha and he said, I gave your answer, I gave your forefathers the Torah, and they violated, we made a bris, we made a deal, and I gave you a Beis HaMikdash, gave you Eretz Yisrael. You violated the bris, you didn't set the Avodim free after Sheish, and you violated Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. I'm going to take away Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to take away Eretz Yisrael. Then Mecharati Itchem Bris Chadosha, the Navi Yirmiyah says, I'm going to make a Bris Chadosha, a new bris is bris, and this bris is going to be engraved on your hearts, and this time you won't be able to shake off. Even if you violate the bris, you won't be able to shake off the bris. The first time, somehow they broke the bris and it was broken. So Eretz Yisrael was taken away. The second time, the Navi Yirmiyah said, this time you won't be able to shake it off, and the second Krisis Bris will enable you to come back to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So that second Krisis Bris, so the Christians say, oh, the Bris HaChadosha. That's the Gospels. They refer to the Gospels as the Bris HaChadosha. The Gospels are, needless to say, the Gospels are not the Bris HaChadosha. So what is the Bris HaChadosha? So the Pasha Pshat, Bris HaChadosha, was the Krisis Bris. It says in Nehemiah, they made a Bris HaMana. The representatives of the 12 Shvatim signed the document of the Beis HaMikdash, each one representing his whole Shevet, they're going to abide by all the dinim that it says in the Chumash. That was an official Krisis Bris, Bris HaMana it's called, in the Nehemiah. But the Krisis Bris was Kima V'Kiblu, that they accepted again, the Torah Shebal Peh. And then Avi Yirmiyah said, your second acceptance of the Torah, the Bris Chratei Bris Chadosha, will enable you to return to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. A very good question. Maybe because it started with the Aaron. I don't know. Question is a good question. We got to figure out an answer. I don't know. So you have in today's Seder, you have to designate a mokum of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Mizpah, they kept on moving. They were men based masois. They kept on moving. It was always in a different location. So you can't say Kitchel Losilov. Every location where the Mishkan wasn't Kitchel Losilov. It's only temporary. But then they had to make all of the various kalim. The Medrash points out, the Shinei Loshen, that by the Aron it says plural, but also Aron, I'd say Shitim. And by everything else it says V'yosisa. Everything else, V'yosisa Shulchan. V'yosisa Menorah Zav Tohar. Everything is V'yosisa Loshen Yochan. See if Moshe Rabbeinu should do. And the Aron has to be made by everybody together. So the Medrash says that the Aron is for the purpose of the Torah. The whole Klal Yisrael has to participate in the Torah. The Beis HaMikdash can be built by one person, not so bad. But everybody has to participate in supporting the Torah. They say that years ago, I think Vysotsky from the tea company was a person who really existed, Mr. Vysotsky, and he was a wealthy man. Apparently a lot of people drank tea. So I think when the Chafetz Chaim wanted to found his yeshiva, a kollel or something, so Vysotsky wanted to support the whole project. So the Chafetz Chaim said, no, Torah has to be supported by all the Klal Yisrael. So rather than take $1 million from one person, he took $10 from every balabas, and it took him forever. You take $10 from so many people, it takes a longer time. It's a different sheet. And now all the yeshivas look for multi-billionaires to make major donations. So the Chafetz Chaim didn't think that that's the right way to go. He thought that you have to go to the whole tzibur, the whole kohol, to get everybody has to support the osor. Everybody has to support the Liman HaTorah. The Gemara learns out a lot of dinim from the Psukim here in the Mishkan. It was only Harua Shah that they had Atzi Shittim, that the Mishkan was made from wood. The Doris is not made from wood. This is only temporary for traveling purposes because of the Masoas. But the Gemara learns that from the word Om Dematzi Shittman Mikedar Kedi Losam, that they had to use the trees the same way they grew. They grew like this, so you couldn't make Atzi Shittim upside down or sideways like this. Has to be Gedar Kedi Losam. So the Gemara learns that from this pasuk, a din l'doris, that when you hold on to the lulav and the esrog, you have to hold it the way it grows from the ground. If you hold it upside down, you're not yoytze. If you build, let's say, a wooden aron kodesh, there's no halacha that the wood has to be keder kedilosan, because there's no din that has to be a wooden aron kodesh. You can make from cloth, you can make from metal, you can make from bricks, stone. There's no halacha has to be wood. But whenever you need some natural item that grew from the ground, then the Gemara learns that from this pasuk there has to be keder kedilosan. That's b'achrenim work hard on the issue. The schach. The schach has to be gedule karka. Tolish dovashani makabultum has to be gedule karka. So how come the schach is not keder kedilos? I'm going to say it's impossible. It's not impossible. Theoretically, it would be difficult. It would be pretty difficult, but theoretically, it is possible. So Achrayim have a whole discussion about that. How come we can use schach, which is put up shalok keder kedilos? Pasuk says, "V'hakemosas haMishkan kemishpatoi." So the Yerushalmi has a comment. Kemishpatoi sounds like as a din Torah. Hela mishpatim shtasim levem. Sounds like there's a din Torah, as if there's a din Torah between the various krushim. This kerish, all the krushim want to be in tzofim, because the right hand of the azara is more kodesh than the left hand. Kachikachim shchitasim atzofim v'kibulamim b'chlisharis batzofim. So the tzofim is the right hand. Half of the Azara in the Beis Hamikdash, right? Half in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu also. So the Yerushalmi has that lotion. Kerish shezocha lehinasim mitzofin lehinasim midorim. If originally they used this kerish on the tzofin side, and then they took it down and they moved to the next masos, there were Membeis masos in the Midbar, and then they're going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So all the kroshim were exactly the same, except for those in the corner. L'mekutzas ha-mishkan. So you could have really exchanged this kerish, put it in Durham. But the kerish has a taina. That's not fair. I was originally in Sofen, so you're not allowed to be. You're not allowed to cheat me. You're not allowed to take away the cover that I have. So that's what the Yerushalmi says, that this is the mocker of the institution of chazaka by mitzvahs. Every shul has this problem. The guy used to be the Baal Tekeh on shul. He used to daven in shul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whatever. And then he says he has the chazaka, the Yerushalmi Void. He's 95 years old. He can barely stand up. He said he has the chazaka, he's the Baal Tekeh, and he's the Baal Kuri. He doesn't want to give it up. So the whole inyan of chazaka mitzvahs is based on this Yerushalmi. HaKemosas HaMishkan KeMishpatoi, that you're not allowed to take away from the keresh, from the krushim. It's not a person. The keresh that was zecher le'inosim mitzarafayin, le'inosim bedorim. Yeah, where does it say in the Bavli? That's a Yerushalmi, a funny Yerushalmi. Where does it say in the Bavli? So in the Bavli, it's a Mishnah in Gittin. You have in the middle of Gittin, you have a series of takonas that have been pnei tikkun ha'olam. So one of the takonas that it starts off in Perek HaShaleach, the fourth Perek in Gittin, starts off with takonas in Hilchos Gittin. Then it goes, rambles on to other takonas that have nothing to do with Gittin. Yeah, Pruzbul is mentioned over there. All kinds of other takonas. So one of the takonas is, when you have a Ruvei Chatzeris, a lot of people live in one chatzah. The chatzah has a wall around it. So Menatar, the whole chatzah is one big Rishus HaYachid. But Reuben's family lives in this. Bai Shimon's family lives here. Levi's family lives there. So Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that even though Menatar it's one big Rishus HaYachid, Shlomo HaMelech made a takana. They need a Reuben chatzah. So everybody has to give a pas, a loaf of bread. Let's say there are 100 tenants in this building. So 99 tenants have to give a pas shlema, a loaf, a challah, a shlema, into one home. The person who lives there in that apartment doesn't have to give any challah. He lives there. And because the other 99 people who live in the other 99 apartments put their challahs in his apartment, it's considered as if all 100 families live in that one apartment. One family lives there, Adar Chabshat, because they really live there. The other nine live there, Adar Chadrash, because they left their food over there. So that's called Eruvi Chatzeris. So, that's takonah shleima melech. Menatar, you're allowed to carry. Menatar, rabban, you're not allowed to carry unless you make the ruvi chatzeris. So the Mishnah says that if a few times you put the ruvi chatzeris in the same apartment, you're not allowed to change and put it in someone else's. But there are 100 tenants in the building. You shouldn't switch because people are going to start to say that he must have done some major avera while they took away the kibbut from him. Something must have gone wrong. He must have stolen some of the challahs. He's not a Shomer Shabbos anymore. Must be a reason why they switched it. So in order not to be moitzi laz on him, so the Mishnah has a takanim, they tikkun olam, that the apartment, which was Zeche, that they put the Eruv HaTzeris there, in my building they always used to leave the Eruv HaTzeris. There was one elderly gentleman who wasn't well, and he never went on vacation. He never went away anywhere for weekends. He always stayed there. So they always used to put, used to leave the Eruv HaTzeris in his apartment. And after he passed away, so they decided I was the rabbi in the building, so they put it in my apartment. So it's always in my apartment. So that's the Achrenim say that Mishnah is the mocker for this institution of Chazaka by Mitzvahs.
So there could be enough community though between the Rishami and the Bavli that if the guy can't be Tukeh anymore, everyone already knows it. Everyone already knows that he can't do it.
Yeah, that's
but
not
if
right.
If the Rishami, it doesn't make a difference.
No. Also, if he's weak, his voice doesn't carry anymore. Doesn't blow shofar well. It doesn't do a good job. So he shouldn't be the Baal
Tzedin. But it's a din by him.
Yeah.
The Yerushalmi versus the Bavli, it's a din by what other people will think.
Correct. It's very different. You're right. It's very different. The Stechemin has a long arichas about this. But the two sources, the Mishnah, the reason in the Mishnah, the reason in the Yerushalmi, they're very different. But bottom line, if the guy, if he's not Merutz al-Kohol, he shouldn't be the Baal Tzedin. He's not allowed to be the Baal Tzedin. He's not Merutz al-Kohol. If he doesn't blow shofar well, he shouldn't have the chazakah. He used to blow shofar well. Now he's 95 years old, so it's not right. That's not right.
They tend to be people that have jerk fits and they're not such good figures. Should the
Tzibur be mochel? The Tzibur should not be mochel, and the Gabbai has to be mean, and the Gabbai has to tell him, you're not Merutza Lekohol. That's the job of the Gabbai, to put his foot down and say, you are not allowed to daven. Because you're not Merutz al-Kohol.
Don't we not pass anyone Merutz al-Kohol? Because today, Moshe Merutz today, no one's Merutz al-Kohol. And if we have to be told that by Merutz al-Kohol, no one will ever be chazan.
Why? Why you say no one's Merutz al-Kohol? No, some people
if
are.
Everyone can be ma'akim. If anyone can be moche, and based on that, not be Merutz al-Kohol, then who's going to daven today?
So we make legal bus a rife. For a rife. But some people, they can't pronounce the words. They skip every other syllable, every other word. They're not pronouncing the words properly. That's not right. The Gabbai has to be a mean guy, and he has to put his foot down and say, you're not allowed to dam. You're not Merutz al-Kohol. I have Yahrzeit next Monday, so I'm going to be out of town. So I'm not going to ask to daven Musaf, because I know I'm not Merutz al-Kohol. I used to have a good voice. I used to be a good Baal Tefillah. Now I can't daven anymore for now. The Mafta don't have to suffer with me, unless they have some other Echiv there. So I'm going to ask one who has Yahrzeit, the minigas, that you get mafter the Shabbos before, and you daven Musaf. So Musaf, I'm not going to daven. I'm going to ask my sons. They should daven for an Amid, if they can. But I'm not going to daven, because I'm not Merutz al-Kohol for Shabbos. So a weekday, I'm Merutz al-Kohol, but not for Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Chumash speaks about the institution of the Pareches, and it's described as having two different roles. V'vidila Pareches lechem bein HaKadosh v'ein Kodosh HaKadoshim, the separate between the Kodosh HaKadoshim and the Hechol, that's in today's Sedra. And then at the end of Chumash Shmos and Parshas Pikudei, towards the end, the role of the Paroches is described differently. Not everybody knows it from the Chumash, but it's a Gemara and Sukkah. People know from the Gemara and Sukkah. Gemara and Sukkah quotes this pasuk. It says you should, towards the end of Pikudei, it says you should make the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Misamta Shamas Aron Ha'edus, Misakosa Al Ha'aroin Es HaParoches. The Paroches is for the purpose of covering over the Oren. So these are two different dinim. One is V'dila Paroches L'chem Bein HaKadosh and Bein Kodosh HaKadoshim. That's the whole Paroches. Then V'sakos Al HaOren is our Paroches, is that middle part of the Paroches that's B'chubin Keneged the Oren. So there's a difference. The Mishlam Melech and the Rama writes that there's a difference. There are Chatos HaPrimios. Usually all the Korbanos are brought on the outside of the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach Achitzim. The Mizbeach HaPnimi was miyuchad only for Keteris, and you're not supposed to be makriv any other Karbonis on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, unless you have Chatos HaPnimius, unless sometimes you have an exception to the rule, Chatos, where you do the Zrikas Adam inside. So on Yom Kippur, the Mishnais and Ezema come separate. On Yom Kippur, you do Avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Hechol. And the other Chatos HaPnimius, Par Halim Dvav Shev Tzibar, Par Kohen Gadol, that you don't do avoid in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you only do the Zrikas Hadam and the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So the Mishnah Mel points out that the Rambam distinguishes, he must have Mekoris in Tanoim, but it's not in the Gemara, the Rambam distinguishes between the Zrikas Adam in front of the Pereches by Yom HaKippurim, as opposed to the Zrikas Adam by the other Chatos HaPnimis. And Yom HaKippurim is Zorek, V'chubin Keneged HaOren. And even in Baisheni that there was no Oren, V'chubin Keneged Mokam HaOren, because Kitchel Osilova. Baisheni can the other Chatos HaPnimis, he's thus Zorek in front of the Pereches. It's a different din of Pereches. On Yom Kippur, you have to be Zorek in front of the Pereches. That's, how did it say there in Pikudei? Sakos al ha'oren is ha'pareches. The zrika on Yom Kippur in front of the pareches is supposed to be that part of the pareches that's covering the oren, and the zrika in front of the pareches is if it's also in front of the oren, in front of the kodesh hakodesh, as opposed to the other chatos ha'pnimius. It's not the pareches b'toras v'sakos. It's pareches b'toras b'diva pareches lachem bein hakodesh bein kodesh hakodeshim. The Mishnah has in Chulin, I think the end of the second parak in Chulin, Mishnah says, when Yonta falls out on a Matzoi Shabbos, and you say Havdalah, so you don't say Hamavda Mekodesh L'chol, you say Hamavda Mekodesh L'chol, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavda Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. So the Avodram is a Sefer, there are a few Svarim like that, where they explain every phrase in the Siddur, where it comes from. The Avodram is based on the premise that the Tfilas were composed in the Biblical Hebrew. So you have to find a mocker in Tanakh for every expression that you have in the Siddur. So the Avodram writes, what's the mocker for Hamav the Mekodesh to Kodesh? He said, this pasuk, V'dila ha'parachas lachem bein ha'kodesh v'bein kodesh ha'kodoshim. It's important, you know, that you have to know there are different dargas of Kedusha. Like we said, the Shalyad has less Kedusha, the Mezuzah has less Kedusha than the film Shalyad. The film Shalyad has less Kedusha than the film Shalrosh. Tzvon Shavrosh has less Kedusha than the Sefer Torah. And the Luchas of the Rambam is Mashma have less Kedusha than the Sefer Torah also. The different Dargas in Kedusha, it's an Afkemina for Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. You're permitted to convert the Shalyad into a Shalrosh, but you're not permitted to convert the Shalrosh into a Shalyad. It's important to know the different levels of Kedusha. I remember Rav Soloveitchik was once explaining, why do you need different levels of Kedusha? Why don't you just divide the whole world into Kodesh and Chol and Shai? The Kodesh is Kodesh and the Chol is Chol. So he said, HaKodesh Baruch Hu is Kodesh. And there's a Mishnah in Bukharis in the first parak, HaYetzim en HaTomei Tomei. If you have a pig gives off milk, so the milk is us, HaYetzim en HaTohar Tor. If a kosher cow, a kosher animal gives off milk, a kosher bird lays eggs, so the eggs are kosher. If a treifah bird lays eggs, an eagle lays an egg, so an eagle egg is treif. HaYetzim en HaTomei Tomei, HaYetzim en HaTohar Tor. So he had an expression from Kabbalah, from Ayotim in HaKadosh Kadosh, the Rebbeinu Shalom is holy, and it created the whole world, so everything in the world is holy. So what we call Chol is really also Kadosh. It's a very low level of Kedusha. It has to be Kadosh. The Rebbeinu Shalom created it. Ayotim in HaKadosh has to be Kadosh. So by definition, you have Kadosh Chom or Kadosh Kal. You can't just divide the whole world into Kadosh and Chol. There's no such thing as Chol. Even the Chol is really Kadosh Kal. So that's why the Tanoim understood there are different Madregas. Different Madregas. The Tachash, Orest Choshim, is one of the matonas that the people had to donate. Orest Choshim Atzei Shitim. So the Gemara says, and Bama Madlikin Tachash was an animal that no longer exists, Bismanazah. It only existed in the days of the Midbar, that they should be able to use the hides for the Mishkan. Gemara wants to know, was it a kosher animal? Was it a non-kosher animal? If it would be alive today, we'd be able to check to see. It's Malager, Mafis Parson. The Gemara says, we don't have any Tchoshim anymore. So the Gemara says, it must be that it's a kosher animal, because we have a din, Halochal Moshe Messina, Lehuchshul, the Malach HaShamayim, Malachar Behem HaTorah Belvad. If it wouldn't have been a kosher animal, they wouldn't be permitted to use it for the cover, or it's Tchoshim, for the covers on top of the Mishkan. So then the Gemara asks, what do you need a Halochal Moshe Messina for? Isn't it, couldn't you learn this out from the Pasuk, in Parsha's boy, that it says, Mantia Terasasha Mefichu Kibyar Chazok Yatzeach Hashem in Mitzrayim. You should wear tefillin, and the tefillin you have the David Parsha's Kadesh Vayokiviach Shema Vayam Shema written, and it says, Mantia Terasasha Mefichu, and the drush of the Torah Shabbal Peh is Menamuta Beficha. You can only write the Torah on parchment that came from a kosher animal. If the parchment was taken from a non kosher animal, that's not accepted. So why do you need a halachal Moshe Messina to tell me that the Tachash must have been kosher because of the Huchshah, Malach HaShemayim, Malach HaShemayim, Malach HaShemayim, Malach HaShemayim, don't you know from the other pasuk, Torah HaShem, Beficha, Gemara says no. Toras Hashem Beficha only goes where you're writing the Divrei Torah. So on the parchment on which you write to say Torah from the mezuzah, that has to be from our Behemot Torah. On the Baisha Rosh, you have a shin. So that's also one letter. There's also two letters. We have two shins, one or two shins. Gemara doesn't talk about two shins. I think that's a Zohar. So you have one or two shins on the Baisha Rosh also. But on the Baisha Yad, there are no letters. The Gemara says on the Ritzuas, there are no letters. So how do you know that the Ritzuas have to be from our Behemot Torah? So that's what the Gemara says in Bava Melech, and that's based on the halacha of Moshe Mesinai, luhuchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, alor behem ha-Torah b'alvan. So that's a further question. This halacha of Moshe Mesinai, luhuchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, alor behem ha-Torah b'alvan, is not only by Tashmishi Kiddusha. Here, the Oris Tchoshim are part of the Mishkan. What about a shofar? Does a shofar have to be from a kosher animal? A shofar is a Tashmishi mitzvah. What about sandal shal chalitza? The mitzvah to do chalitza. This is the point, sandal chalitza is not just a matter. Chalitza is a mitzvah, but haraya. That there are three parts to chalitza. You have to have rikike, you have to have kriyas apsukim, and we paskan that the rikike and the kriyas apsukim are not miyakev, only chalitza is hasandal. So Tosis says, if chalitza wouldn't be a mitzvah, but only just be a matir, to permit the woman to remarry, it wouldn't make sense to have a lachatchilim b'dieved on the level of the rice and a matir. Doesn't make sense. So must be chalitza is a mitzvah, so the mitzvah b'shemusa should be done. Chalitza, rikike, and kriyas apsukim and b'dieved, you fulfill the mitzvah shalom b'shemusa, if you just do the chalitza. So chalitza is a mitzvah, so the sound of shal chalitza is a tashmishi mitzvah. But it's not a tashmishi kedusha. So that's a little taisvis. There's a little taisvis in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza. This is quotes Rabbi Natam, Chalitza, Shu, has to be from Mor Behemot Torah. So the Yachrainim say that that's probably what the Rabbi Natam meant. He meant, taisvis gives a different reason. Taisvis says, because there's a machloikis in the Gemara, whether the Chalitza Shu has to be made from leather or not. Let's say you live in Holland. They used to wear, they say they still wear wooden shoes in Holland. I don't know, I was never there. Huh?
Tourists
wear wooden shoes. Okay.
Farmers.
So there's machlokes hatanoim whether the chalitza shoe has to be dafka leather or not. So we paskin has to be dafka leather. Why? So the Gemara answers that from a pasuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel is describing where the Ribbono Shel Olam took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he raised us just like you deliver a baby and you wash the baby off and you smear the baby with oil and then you put on powder, then you diaper the baby, then the baby gets a little old, you put on little shoes. So it says in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, "En olach tochash," I put on nalayim, I put on little shoes on Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is raising a baby. He brought Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim with a baby and he's raising us and he made us into a big nation, into a holy nation. So the Pasuk says, "En olach tochash," he put on shoes made from tachash leather. So the Gemara says, so the Rabbi Natam says, Tachash was a kosher animal, and you learn out that the chalitza shoe has to be na'al, chalitza na'al on the al-ragla, so the word na'al by chalitza has the same connotation as the enolech tochash, the na'al in Yecheskel. So since there it's a tachash, and tachash is a behemot ha'ira, so it has to be from a behemot ha'ira. The Gemara says the same shaila by Yom Kippur, that you're not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. We're makel to wear sneakers, machlekes, we're makel to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur. We assume it only applies when Olach Tochash, only leather. So you're going to say you're allowed to wear all the shoes that we wear are horse leather. So you're allowed to wear our shoes because it's horse leather. It's not a Or Behemot Torah. How can it be? It's probably not correct. Probably Pashler Abin Atam didn't mean to say that on Yom Kippur you're allowed to wear horse leather shoes. He only meant by sandal shachalitza, it's a tashmishi mitzvah. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan learns Pshat and Abin Atam. It meant by tashmishi mitzvah, not only does this din, but huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, not only does it apply to the ritzuas of the tefillin and to the tachash and the Beis HaMikdosh and to the bayis shel yad that doesn't have any oisius written on it, it even applies to tashmishi mitzvah as well. So that's the Ramoa quotes this from the Ran. The Ran in Rosh Hashanah is mesupik. Can you use a shofar from a behema tmeya? So the Ran is not sure. Because a shofar is only tashmishi mitzvah, it's not tashmishi kedusha. So the Ramoa quotes it. He misquotes a little bit. Ramah says, the Ran said it's no good. The Ran said he's not sure. The Ran said he's misupit. So the Ramah quotes it, it's no good. So that means that we're machmer, even by Tashmish and Mitzvah also, the Huchshon, the Malach HaShamayim, or Behemot Torah B'Levad. There was a great, years ago, for many years, when the Rabbanim would retire from Europe, from their Rabbanim, so they would move to, a lot of them moved to Yerushalayim. So the Badats had, the Eidah Haredis in Yerushalayim, they had very prominent Rabbanim for many years. So one of the big Rabbanim, I think it was a Rav in Lublin, one of the big Rabbanim moved to Yerushalayim, and he published the Sadash Jewish Torah Chesed. So in, he has two volumes. One volume is Chelek Arachaim, one volume is Chelek Ebenezer. He's famous. He has the tshuva about abortions. He's the big maker on the abortions. The Tzitz Eliezer quotes it from the Torah Chesed. So the Torah Chesed has, in Chelek Arachaim, he has a lot of his Shabbos HaGadol Pilpulim and Shabbos HaGadol drushes. The practice used to be, the Rabbani used to be, give big shiurim, big drushes, Pilpulim and Halacha. So on one occasion, for the Shabbos Shuva drush, he gave a Pilpul about the Shofar from a Behemoth Tameya. So he went through all the sources possible on this topic, whether the Huch Shemalech HaShamayim only applies to Tashmishi Kedusha or even applies to Tashmishi Mitzvah. So he has that. Every so often I'll quote a Torah Chesed in my shiur. So there's, I have a Sfardi who attends the shiur in Flatbush. He got all excited because when he used to live in Eretz Yisrael, he always used to quote from the Torah Chesed. And he used to say, Torah Chesed always runs through all of Shas, all of his children. So he runs through all of Shas, a big bucky. Chacham Avad used to be very in awe of the Chuvas Torah Chesed. Anyway, it's a good Chuvas. With or without Chacham Avad, it's good Chuvas. In the late 1800s, there was a prominent Hasidish Rebbe, Radzina Rebbe, who was known as the Balat Chelas. He was a big Talmid Chacham. He's the one who wrote... He wrote the Gemara on Seder Taras. He took the Mishnayos in Seder Taras, and he collected all the Gemaras, and he wrote as if an imitation Gemara on Seder Taras, and he has his commentary on the side, Sidri Taras. So in the first edition, he made it look like a Gemara, so people had a taina that he quoted everything from Gemaras, like someone in Europe, someone years ago, took all the Gemaras on Pirkei Avos, and he made a whole Talmud Bavli out of Pirkei Avos. So that everybody knows is not Talmud Bavli, but it's on Taurus, nobody knows too much about anything on Taurus. So in the second edition, he has on top of every page, it says Seder Taurus. You shouldn't think that it's a real Masech. It's a Seder Taurus. Right? So this Radzina Rebbe, a big Talmud Chacham, he felt we have an obligation to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever we can do. So part of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have Chelas for the big day Kuhuna. In the Midbar, they needed Chelas for the other... for the paroches, for other things, I need a trelis. And the Doris, I need trelis for the big day kuna. It's ma'akev. The Pashta says there's a machlokes hatanoim regarding tzitzis. If you have only love and I have only trelis, do you have a partial kiyum mitzvah or not? So most assume we've been wearing tzitzis for many centuries without any trelis. So we assume that you have trelis is not me'akev the love, and the love is not me'akev the trelis. If you have one without the other, you yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. But in Big Day Kuna, the Tosefta said the Farish, everybody who is trelis is me'akev. So the Radzina Rebbe felt we have an obligation to go try to find out what is the trelis and to manufacture it. He wasn't so, we should really do it for the tzitzis alone, but his real interest was we have to prepare for the Beis HaMikdash. We have to show the Rebbe Shlom that we're interested in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That's why he went specially to Italy. He heard that there was an aquarium in Italy here, that they have all the different fish from the world, and he's going to figure out which sea animal is the chalazon. The Gemara seems to say that chela has to be dafka from the chalazon, can't be from anything else. So he has the Radzina Rebbe, he's famous, he has chelas. Rav Herzog, who was the second chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael after Rav Kook passed away. Rav Kook was a kohen, Rav Herzog was a lady. So Rav Herzog, when he was in Europe before he became the chief rabbi, went to university. So I think his doctoral dissertation was on the trelis. So he wrote a whole study of the trelis. So he came to the conclusion that the Radzina Rebbe decided which animal it was. And he needed, and the Gemara says that how do you know if it's authentic trelis? If it's real trelis, then when you wash it, when you wash out the garment, the tchelet is it's going to hold. So he dyed wool with tchelet, and then every time he would wash it, and the whole color came out. So he put an advertisement in the Italian newspaper. He needs a chemist to help him. He needs someone who knows chemistry. I need something to cause the tchelet that it shouldn't get washed out. So he explained to the chemist what he needs, and the chemist gave him a chemical. So Rav Herzog says that the Goyish chemist fooled him. He said that the chemical that he gave him was Prussian blue. So after you wash out the beged, all the blue from the fish goes out, and the only color that's there is from the chemist, from the chemical, from the synthetic chemical. There's nothing there from the fish. Rav Herzog said that the Goy fooled Rav Herzog, the Goy fooled the Radzina Rebbe, and so he made a whole study on his own. He came up with a different thing, what's supposed to be the tchelet. So that's a whole discussion, what Rav Herzog said, what his maskana was. It's important, you got to know if it's tzitzis. If you have the opportunity to put tchelet, you should put tchelet. You have to know for building, for making a Beis HaMikdash. We hope soon during our lifetime we should be zeched to have a Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to need some tchelet over there. Why do we refer to the Batei Knesiyos? We mentioned the Gemara in the end of Megillah says all the Batei Knesiyos about the Midrash Shabbavo are referred to by the Navi Yecheskel as Amigdash Meyat. In what sense are they Amigdash Meyat? So Rab Soloveitchik used to explain like this. He says the purpose of the Beis Amigdash is we should have a place to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be Lifnei Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, and we go to visit him there. Beis HaKnesses is Beis Seinu, he comes to visit us. So that's Mikdash Meyat. They both have one thing in common, that it's a place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'na'arati l'cha sham me'al ha-kapayrus. I will, and the Bnei Yisrael come into the Beis HaMikdash, entering Beis Hashem. So that's why this difference brings about a difference. La'alocha, we have a pasuk umigdashi tira'u, means you have to have extreme moira hamigdash, like there's a din of kibud aviyem and there's a din of moira aviyem. So moira aviyem means a greater degree of kibud, more intense degree of kibud. So here by Beis HaMikdash is a din umigdashi tira'u, you have to have moira hamigdash. Beis HaKnesses, no one ever talks about moira Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara de Shulchan Aruch talk about kvod Beis HaKnesses. It's only a chiyuv kavod because it's only a migdash miyah. We get together with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the Shechina is coming to visit by us. Not that we're going to visit by the Shechina. Based on migdash, we're visiting the king and the king's palace. So that's mochomer. There you have to have moira. When the king visits by you, it's enough if you have kavod. Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe that's the reason for the Yerushalmi. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Gemara says you have to have big day Shabbos. You're not allowed to wear on Shabbos the same gadim as the weekdays. You're not supposed to wear big day Shabbos in the weekday. You're not supposed to wear big day chol on Shabbos. You have to have separate gadim. So the Rishonim says that big day Yontov have to be fancier than big day Shabbos. Now, Soloveitchik, I remember on Yontov he used to wear a top hat, a cylinder. Looked a little funny in America. So. But years ago, all the Rabbanim, the early years in America, all the Rabbanim used to wear a top hat. I used to wear tails. On Yontov, I used to wear tails. On Shabbos, he wore a normal jacket, a short jacket, a regular hat, like everybody else. But on Yontov, he had to wear big day Yontov. He had to have something special. Yeah.
Well,
that's it still always wore a cylinder, yeah. How about it? So why is that so? Why do you have to have big day Yontov? Have to be fancier than big day Shabbos? So Rav Soloveitchik thought like this, that on Yontov, on Shabbos Shigon, we have an obligation to visit the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're visiting the Melech in the Beis HaMelech, in Beis HaShem. So there you have to dress up fancier. On Shabbos, the Shechina comes to visit by us. So we don't have to dress up. We're meeting with the Shechina. How about Slocha? We're meeting with the Shechina, but it's not the same as going into the palace. The king is coming to visit by us. That's enough if you have Shabbos Dikah Mabush. It doesn't have to be the same as Yontov Dikah Mabush. Lechem Aponim says in the Chumash, you have to have Lechem Aponim Lefanai Tomid. That's the last Pasuk in Sheni, in the second Aliyah. What does it mean, Tomid? 24-7? That's exactly what it means, 24-7. Lechem Aponim Lefanai Tomid. So it's a Machloikis HaTanoim in a Mishnah in Menachos. So one Tan is of the opinion that when they took off the old lechem aponim and they had another group of kind of putting on new lechem aponim, it was tivcha shel zeh betat tivcha shel zeh. The fists of these kohanim would be on the shulchan, will be taken off the old lechem aponim, and the others are putting on the new lechem aponim immediately after. As we take off the old lechem aponim, to put on the new lechem aponim. They bake the lechem aponim, the baking is not derech Shabbos. One Tana holds it is, but we don't pass like that. Rab Leizer holds Machshiri Mila, derech Shabbos, Machshiri, all the mitzvah. We don't pass like Rab Leizer. You have to bake the lechem aponim on Friday. And if Friday happens to be Yom Tov, you got to bake lechem aponim on Thursday. Then you put it on the shulchan on Shabbos morning. It sits there for a whole week. The derech HaTeva should become hard like a rock, should be stale, should taste awful. So the Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, that was one of the miracles. Lechem kiyom hi lokcha. When they took off the lechem aponim from the shulchan on next Shabbos, it was still warm, like they took it out fresh from the oven. It tasted delicious. There was one of the nisim tedirim in the Beis Hamikdash, that the lechem aponim didn't get stale. So one Tana says, tamid means tamid, 24/7. Is that really true? Someone told me, what's the Pasuk 24/7? Nasa v'nishma? Is that what it says, Taka? Yeah. Ayikach sefer habeis v'ayikach v'yaz v'yam v'yom v'kolom kolo shediv v'ashem nasa v'nishma. That's 24/7. Okay. That's chapter 24, verse 7. Shuman chumishmos. It says nasa v'nishma is 24/7. Okay. So one Tana is of the opinion that the lechem aponim has to be tamid 24/7. The other Tana says, not necessary. Even if they take off the lechem aponim, last week's lechem aponim in the morning, and you put on the new lechem aponim a minute before the shkia, as long as the shulchan wasn't sitting a whole day without lechem aponim, that's okay. That's also called tamid. Tamid means on a regular basis, you shouldn't be missing a day. So the Gemara says that this machlekes hatanaim should have relevance with respect to the obligation to learn Torah v'hasmadim. It says, "V'hagis about Yom Avalaylam." Yom Avalaylam means he's supposed to learn all day and all night. So there's a machlokes hatanaim. What does that mean? So one Tana says, "Yom Avalaylam," supposed to learn all day and all night. Every free minute you're supposed to learn. When you don't have free time, when you're sleeping, when you're eating, when you make up parnasa, not. But you muchiv to learn every free minute, v'asmad demrub all day and all night. And most of the rishonim do not accept that opinion. Most of the rishonim paskin, you have to learn a little bit every day and a little bit every night. You should learn 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night. So that's what they point out. It seems to be a stira in the Rambam. I think Lechem Mishnah points that. It seems to be a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam, by the Lechem Aponim, writes, Tivcha shel zeh betzad tivcha shel zeh, that when they were taken off the old Lechem Aponim, they would put the new Lechem Aponim immediately. Literally 24/7. And here by Talmud Torah, the Rambam and most of the Rishonim paskin the other way. You should learn a little bit every day, a little bit every night, but you don't have to learn every 3 minutes. You won't become a Talmud Chacham if you just learn 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a night. We all have an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, so it's not going to help too much. You're going to learn 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a night. It says, L'mad Tam Osam, you have to learn all the 613 mitzvahs, you know all the details. Not going to help too much, but... so that's the Lechem Mishnah Stira in the Ram. The Gemara puts the two together. Whatever the definition of Hasmada is by Lechem Aponim should be the same definition by Talmud Torah. And the Rambam wrote a difference between the two. The Gemara comments on the Orein, that had the Luchas in it. The Orein was made from Mosisa Aron Atzi Shitim. Orein was made from wood. And then it's a piece of Zor Mibaisa Michutza. It had gold on the inside, gold on the outside. So the Gemara says it. Orin represents a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham has to be Tocho Kid Baro. So you see from the Gemara two things. First of all, it has to be Baro. The guy's going to walk around in shorts with long hair. He doesn't look like a Talmud Chacham on the outside. So first of all, it has to be Baro. The outside, Bar, has to look like a Talmud Chacham. Doesn't have to have a long beard afke, but he has to look like a dignified individual. Then you have to have Tocho Kid Baro. He has to have a pure Zohav Tohar. Has to have a pure soul. He should be a tzaddik. Not stam that on the outside he dresses like a Talmud Chacham and so on. Has to be Tocho Kibar. That's hard to tell. How can you tell if it's Tocho Kibar? But that's what the Gemara learns that from the Oren. or in Hadzov on the inside, Zov on the outside, Mikan, that a Tamachacham has to be Tocha Kibara.
There were two aronas, we said before. So for one, what was the Shivri Luchos in the third, next to the Luchos in the original
aron? I think in the Bais Sheni it was like that. But in the early years, in the Bais Rishon, in the days of Yoshua Ben Nun, the Aron Ayotze LaMachama had the Shivri Luchos, and the Aron and the Beis HaKadosh HaKadoshim had the Luchos, not the Shivri Luchos. Then later, they put the Shivri Luchos in the Aron. And then the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them, that's a machloikis in the first parak in Bava Basra. Was there a daf boilet? There was a shelf on the outside of the aron. That was also inside the aron. That's a machloikis hatanam. Nobody ever saw the aron. It was Nignas in the days of Yoshua HaMelech. So all the Tanaim are talking about traditions that they had.
Is there a machloikis that they took, they opened up both aronos and moved the Shivri Luchos into the other aron? Did somebody say that?
I guess so. I don't know. Because in the Bais Sheni, the Gemara assumes that the Luchas with the Shivri Luchas Menachem Bar, in the days of David HaMelech, there was an Aron HaYotzeh LaMochama, there was an Aron that was never taken out. So that had the Shivri Luchas, I guess, at some time. They must have joined them. I don't know. I don't know when. Some later generation. Rashi on the Parsha points out, that'll make the menorah with one solid piece of gold and chisel out. You can't have pieces of gold and screw them in together and nail them together. It has to be one mikshot. So the expression mikshot teoseh sounds like nasis meileha. So Rashi quotes a famous medrash that niskasha Moshe b'maisa menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out how to make the menorah, so he gave up. So he threw the gold into the fire, and it happened by itself. A miracle occurred, and the menorah came out by itself. So the Mefarshim asks, what was so difficult to make a menorah? It says, you make Gvin, Kaptorim, Afroch, and Shan. Make seven branches. What's the problem? What's so difficult? The Hashmonaim made a menorah. So you say, well, the Hashmonaim saw the old menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu also showed a menorah. Kamara Shehare Sabahar. He also saw a vision of what the menorah is supposed to look like. So what was so difficult? So there's a famous comment from Avelvola Soloveitchik. The Gemara Menachos puts together a whole list of things that was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu. So one of them was Herel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menorah Shalesh. And he was told he has to make the menorah Kamareh Asher HaReisah Bahor. So Rabbi Balak Soloveitchik explained it wouldn't be enough if you have the correct number of Gvim Kaptorim Afrahim. It has to look exactly the way the vision was. The Doris, there was no such din. So the Chashmonaim saw a menorah, Gvim Kaftarim, Prochem Shefai. The Gvim are not going to be the same size as they used to be. The old menorah was used for Abba the Zohar purpose. So they make a new menorah in the days of the Chashmonaim. So the new menorah didn't have this Hairah Shor that has to be Kamara Shahar Esabahar. So they make a menorah. It doesn't have to be the same shape. It's a Shaila. The Pastor Lubavitcher Rebbe thought the menorah was like this. And the Arch of Titus has the menorah like this. Everybody makes like this, not like that. So that became the symbol of Lubavitch. Whenever there's a Lubavitcher shul, they have the menorah like this, because their Rebbe said, because the Pirush HaMishnayos the Rambam has like that. It doesn't mean that the Rambam drew it like that. The printer didn't have, the printer didn't have a thing to print the curving lines. So he put lines like that. It means that that's what the Rambam said. And the printer and the Pirush HaMishnayos the Menachos is more reliable than the Arch of Titus.
I think from the Kisra of the Rambam himself, they have that picture.
Oh, yeah?
I could
be wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think also the Rambam himself writes that on details that aren't no Gaelic health, so that he's not medactic in the way he's drawing.
Yeah. So the Pashtus is probably not Miyakib. Whether you make it like this, make it like that, probably not Miyakib. As long as I have seven Kanim and it has Gibim Kaptar Mafrochim Mishayim. If it's made from gold, it has to be Gibim Kaptar Mafrochim. Made from any other metal, doesn't even have to be Gvim Kaftar Mafroch. So the Chashmonaim didn't have this Hairosha, but Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskashi because he was told the Hairosha has to be Datka like that. So that's what Ravelvel explains, that there was a din, Zeh Maaseh HaMenorah. Zeh usually has a connotation of something that was demonstrated, a visual demonstration. So he was shown the Menorah Shalesh, has to look exactly like that, and that was Niskashi and Moshe. So then Ravelvel explains, Verisa Sachorai, Ufanai, Lo Yiro. So the Gemara says, Verisa Sachorai refers to the Kesher Shalfil. What did the Baruch Shalom have to show Moshe Rabbeinu? Cash yourself film. Tell him, make a yud over here and a dollar over there. What's so difficult? So he, so Radovel Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Rambam that the Gemara said in Bamei Madlikin, we just mentioned it before, Gemara says in Bamei Madlikin that you can't write Sefer Torah for the Mezuzah nor Behema Temeya based on the Pasuk Manti Ater Sashem Eficham and Amuta Beficham. And it, Bayi Shal Rosh has a shin on it, so it has to be Torah Sashem, that's Torah. One letter shin is Torah. But the Bayi Shal Yad or the Ritzus don't have any Oisias on them, so then you need Allah Moshe Messina, Avtachash Luhuch Shal Mach Shamayim, Lord Behema Torah Bilvad. So Tosis asks on Rashi, that Rashi said you need a Yud and a Dalit. Kesher Shal Tfin, you need a Yud and a Dalit. So it's also one Ois. Just like the shin is one Ois, and it's covered with the din of Torah Sashem Beficha, one letter is also Torah. So the Yud and the Dalit should also be covered with the Torah Sashem Eficha. Why does the Gemara say that you need the Alach L'Moshe M'Sinai for the Ritzus? So Tosis shows that Rashi is wrong, that Kesher Shel Tfin Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai means it should be a Kesher. The fact that it should have a Yud and a Dalit, that's only Midirabban. That's not Benatur. That's only Midirabban. The Pele is that the Rambam says the same as Rashi. So what's he going to do with Tosis Kash? So that's what Radovel Soloveitchik has in his Sefer. He says, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kesher Shel Tfin? He says, Sacharai, he shows him the Kesher Shel Tfin. So the Rambam writes, it has to be a Kesher B'tzuras Dalet. He doesn't say you make a Dalet. It's a Kesher that should look like a Dalet. The Rabban Shalom said, you make a Kesher. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, what should it look like? So the Rabban Shalom didn't say, make a Dalet. He showed him what it looks like. So it's a Kesher B'tzuras Dalet. So it's not a Dalet. The Kesher over here is a Kesher B'tzuras Yud. It should look like a Yud. So that's why it's not really an ois. It's just a kesher b'tzuras ois. So that's why it's not covered with the din of Torah Sashem Eficha. You need the Halacha Moshe Messina. Years ago, the practice used to be for many generations that when a boy became bar mitzvah, he'd say over Shagasari. So now they changed it. Now they say over Biskarov. So every other bar mitzvah, they say over this word, Rabbelvel, about the kesher shal yud and kesher shal dalet. It's a kesher b'tzuras dalet. Kesher b'tzuras, but it's not really... It's not really a Yud or a Dalet, and that's how you find it. It's the Rashi and the Rambam. What does it say when he made? What is it in the Vuv Luchos? Says by what? I already forgot. The Vuv Luchos is by what? The Mizbech was the Vuv Luchos. So the Gemara says that the Aseres Adibris was Mizeh Mizeh Heng Suvim. It was engraved through and through. So you saw empty space. So the Gemara says, on this side it says Nevuv, on the other side it said Buban. It's not that through and through, you can read on both sides, Anochi Hashem Alakecha. No, everything was backwards on the other side. The Rebbe Shimon could have made a miracle, he could do whatever he wants. But the Gemara said, that's not what it was. On this side it said Nevuv, on the other side, it was backwards, it was Buban. So Taisa says, what do you mean? Nevuv is not an Aseres HaDibrois? So it's Labdavke, Taisa said. The Gemara says, Nevuv, Buban, is Labdavke. It really means, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, everything was backwards on the other side. So the Beis HaLevi has a long drasha on this. In the end of the second chelik of the Beis HaLevi has, I think, 16 long drushes. So one long drasha is on this. He says, the original plan was that there isn't going to be any Torah Shabbat, but everything is going to be Torah Shabbat, and everything was written on the Luchas. And whoever had a shadow would just look on the Luchas, and all the answers would be there. So Nevuv Luchas was written on the Luchas. Everything was written on the Luchas Rishonos. But then, when Moshe Rabbeinu was going down Har Sinai, so there are two versions in the Medrash, what happened to the Ksav? The one version in the Medrash is, the Osias flew out, the Osias Perchas Ba'avir, and everything turned into stone. So it's 10 times as heavy as it was before. The Lucha is not so bad to carry the Lucha, but it's all filled in with stone. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hold it, so he dropped it. One version is not that he smashed it on purpose, he dropped it. The other version is Machlokes Hatarim, whether he smashed it or he dropped it because it became so heavy. So one version has it that all the Osias flew out. Then the Pasuk says, and Parshas Kisis, how to say, Psalucha Shnevachosavarim Karishanim. Asher Shibarta. What does it mean, the two words Asher Shibarta? So the Beis HaLevi says, the original Luchas had Kol HaTorah Kula written on it. the original Luchos Shniyah, the original Luchos Rishonos. But then, as Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down from Har Sinai, everything disappeared except for the Aseres Adibros. And the Luchos Shniyah is, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, now I have to give a Torah Shebaal Peh, because the original, according to the original plan, no Ummah V'Loshim would be able to be Sholeth on the Jewish people. So we would have the Torah that no one would claim that they're the real Jews. And after the Chet HaEgel, so the Ribbono Shel Olam said, he's going to punish Bnei Yisrael, we're going to be Tach HaShiltan HaUmos, and the Ummahs, the Catholics, claim that they're the real Jews, because we rejected Osa HaIsh, so they're the real Jewish people. We're never going to return back to Eretz Yisrael. They say Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaNevcheres, who are the Am HaNevcher, and they lost their status. They're the Am HaNevcher, and they're entitled to have the Eretz HaNevcheres. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to have to give us a Torah Shebaal Peh, that we should be unique. Torah Shebaal Peh is only for the Jewish people, because the Ummahs Olam have Shlit on the Torah Shebichzav. After the Chet HaEgel, that's the whole thrust of the Beis HaLevi's drush. He quotes Gemaris and Zohars and Midrashim that all point to this idea. Tosfos in Gitna, Daf Nutes, quotes a Medrash on the Pasuk in Navi, Echtav La'Rubei Torosei Haloka Mozanech Shovu. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, if I'm going to write everything Torah Shebichzav, the Catholics will claim that they're the Bnei Yisrael. They claim they're the Am HaNevcher. We have nothing unique. We have nothing unique to prove that we are the Am HaNevcher. So Ribbono Shel Olam said, I'm going to have to make a Torah Shebaal Peh. I can't write everything b'chsav, because then the Ummahs HaOlam will have a shlita on the Jewish people. They claim that they're the Am HaNevcher. They claim anyway they're the Am HaNevcher. So we had, for many years, we had the Torah Shebaal Peh, which they didn't have. Now they get a copy of all the art scrolls. They get all the Gemaras. So you have no choice today. But that was the plan. So that's what the Beis HaLevi says. V'chasavti al halachos ha-sadram shahayu al halachos ha-rishanim asher shibarto. The Luchos Shniyah only had the text of the Aseres Adibros, which was remained on the Luchos Rishonos at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed it. Because before the Kol HaTorah Kula was written on the Luchos Rishonos. And as Moshe Rabbeinu came down and saw them dancing around the Egel, the rest of Torah Shebichzav was Osias Perchas Ba'avir, and the only thing that was left was Aseres Adibros. So the Beis HaLevi said, that's why the Gemara says, Nevuv. The Vuv is Bupar. He says the, it was written on the Luchas. Kol HaTorah Kula, that's what he quotes Midrashim like that. Kol HaTorah Kula was written on the Luchas. Yeah, the Gemara points out that the Mizbeach HaPnimi was a Kli, the Mizbeach HaChitzon was a Binyan. And there may be a difference La'alocha. Mizbeach HaChitzon was Mizbeach Adam, was filled in with Adam, so it was Mechubel HaKarka. Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZov, was a Kli, wasn't Mechubel HaKarka. So in the beginning of Sukkah, the Gemara quotes a Machlokes HaMeir Reb Yudah from the Mishneh Menachos. Reb Meir's opinion is that whenever the Chumash gives the Shir, Amma V'chetzi, Shnei Amas, Amma V'chetzi, Amma Kaimasa, Amma V'chetzi Kaimasa, all of the Shurim are an Amma Bas, Amma Beininis, which is an Amma Bas Shisha Tfochim. And Reb Yudah disagrees and he says, no, there's a difference between Amma Shal Binyan and Amma Shal Kelim. Amma Shal Binyan is 6 Tfochim, Amma Shal Kelim is 5 Tfachim. Difference. So Rashi points out right away on that Mishnah Menachos. Rashi and Sukkah points out. The Mizbeach HaPnimi was a Kli, the Mizbeach HaChitzon was Mechubel LaKarka. There are several differences, Halacha LaMaisa, between them based on that assumption that the Mizbeach HaPnimi was a Kli, the Mizbeach HaChitzon was Mechubel LaKarka. Okay. Good Shabbos, everybody. So this Sunday, I think I probably will not be able to come back to the yeshiva. They want me to be in, the administration wants me to be in Far Rockaway, I think, on Sunday morning. Good. You hope something comes out of it? In preparation for the Chag HaSmicha, so they're less learning.